Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dice and Die Show.
Yay.
My name's Luke. I am your host.
It's your boy.
I'm your boy.
It's your boy.
It's your boy, Lukey baby.
Lukey baby.
I am the host of this wonderful show, the Dice and Die Show, where we talk shit for an hour and then play about 20 minutes of D&D. Anyway, I'm Luke. Today I'm joined by Lisa Horton, plays Millicent the Bard.
Oh.
James Bly plays Scape the Paladin.
Hello.
Gavin Bourne, Burr the Dwarven Swashbuckling Rogue.
Evening.
And Sean Lee, Pock the Gnomish Druid.
Aye, love.
Believe it or not, we are an actual play, mostly D&D podcast.
We need a get round to playing actual play.
Yeah.
Eventually play. We're an eventually play group.
This is it.
That's what we are.
An eventually play.
Yeah. I see, just chiming in with some more fodder. I see two monks having a fight at the weekend.
I saw your Facebook post.
I've been holding that.
Actual monks, like.
Well, we went. It was in Glastonbury.
Well, like Shaolin monks, or like the kind of British, old English monks with cat file.
Crazy homeless guy with a robe. That's monk. Okay. That's what. It was at the White Springs in Glastonbury, and they had a bit of a queue outside, and there was this guy. It must have been his job to let people in, but. It's like, I suppose it's some sort of, I didn't know anyone owned it, you know? But we had to fill out all the COVID forms. There's only a certain amount of people allowed to walk in at the time, at the same time. That obviously Glastonbury, very relaxed sort of place. He was like, you know, if you don't have to wear your mask, you know, just tick that you're not eligible. And I'm like, yeah, no, we'll wear the masks. And he seemed quite annoyed that we wanted to wear the mask because it's a sacred place and all of that. It's palaver, you know, but it was like, you know, we're wearing the mask, mate. It's fine. And there was an exit gate, and there was another guy, long hair, a big staff on him, just chilling out, meditating nearby. And he went round to him. He went, "You need to come away from the exit gate. It's not safe. We're trying to do. We've only just been allowed to open. We're trying to do this properly." Fair enough. Do you know what I mean? He's fair play to the guy. He's trying to keep everyone happy and safe. But this guy wouldn't move. So they just kicked off, and it just like these two guys in like monk robes with two walking quarterstaffs just fucking went for it. It was crazy. It was the maddest thing I've seen.
Must have been like a show. Must have been.
No, like it was. It's not that sort of place. It was
were they
just
doing like kung fu and shit?
No, I mean, it was like watching two drunk people fight with sticks. But
in my head, it was like, yeah, like some fight.
It was great. And we had that was more entertaining than going inside the springs for me, you know? it was very bizarre. Good. Very odd. Anyway, that was a shit anecdote. Carry on.
No,
that
was pretty cool.
Let's kill dragons.
Should we? I don't know.
No, there's no dragons.
No dragons
yet. All right.
And this is the thing, like, you've heard of a dragon. As much as it's Dungeons & Dragons, you've not actually seen a dragon. And that seems to be a kind of common theme amongst Dungeons & Dragons games. You don't get many dragons because they're just, like, uber powerful.
Got a feeling they don't exist.
They don't. Mm. All right. Let's play. Why not?
So enthused.
I'm tired, man. It's like nearly 11 o'clock. This is the part of the... I'm not all that
always
pepped
happens.
Up on. So, because people are quite interested, like listeners and stuff, what we're playing, we are playing Lost Mine of Phandelver, the starter set adventure. We started off as a Twitch stream with the intent of beginner show by beginners for beginners, and that's developed into more of a podcast. And I started adding some homebrew elements into it. That's the main campaign we're playing. This section of the adventure in the book is like half a page. There's no maps on it, nothing. It's a brief description, and it's left to your devices as a DM to come up with more. And after I spent a lot of time online on forums, Facebook groups and stuff like that, there was a suggestion about dropping in another adventure right here. There is an adventure book called Tales of the Yawning Portal, which is lots of mini adventures, and they're all old adventures from older D&D systems, because it's 5th edition, and which have been converted into 5e. So this section, Wyvern Torn, we're now about to approach, is actually Forge of Fury from the Tale of Yawning Portal, or Yawning Tales from the Yawning Portal. If anybody's interested, that's what we are now going to be playing, probably for the next few weeks or so. Can it really expand on it? It fits nicely. It's all about a cave full of orcs. It's lovely. It's good, good little adventure. So I'm just going to ignore any of the plot stuff that's in this module and just going to do some stuff.
Freestyle.
So that's what we're doing. Story so far. Okay. So Lost Mine of Phandelver. Anybody knows it at home? Essentially, you spent most of the time hunting for Gungeon, your employer and your friends. He's been kidnapped. You finally rescue him. But he's just battered and bruised and beaten up and nasty. So you get him back to the town of Phandalin, and the local cleric in the town says, right, I'll heal him up. It's going to take a few days. But while I'm doing that, do me a favour. Go and find this Banshee, Agatha. Ask her a question. Find out the information. Bring it back to me. By the time you've done that, he's going to be right as rain, and then you can crack on with your quest to the mines. You do that, but you kind of fuck shit up a little bit with the question. So she gives you another chance. She said, right, okay, look, do me a favour. Side quest on a side quest. Go and find this gem in my old ancestral home. Consecrate the evil that's there in the grounds. Bring it back to me and I'll answer this question for you. So you go back to Cragmore Castle, where you have found Gungeon. You've been there already. You go back there and explore the lower depths, where you find a shrine to Moanda. And there's like some weird undead Moanda mummy type thing in there. And you find this Kira. And it's a nice little bit of exposition and kind of like opening up that part of the adventure, because again, that's like, again, a half a page adventure in the booklet, if that. And that's all I expanded upon that. Once you leave there, you bump into some mercenaries on the road, and your old friend Carp, who's just like this 13, 14 year old halfling boy from Phandalin, who wants to be an adventurer, and he signed up to this mercenary troop to be trained. And he's just currently a squire, but you get ambushed by these orcs, and the orcs kill all these mercenaries. They kidnap Droop, your goblin sidekick. They kidnap Carp and some of the other guards as well and run off. And so you're just chasing them down. And last week, we did like a little bit of world map, kind of hexagonal map, moving around, just trying to follow the trail. But what I did, you guys wouldn't see it, but what I did was essentially on the map, I planted a couple of... I drew a pathway of the way that the trail that you're following of these orcs, and made you make survival checks to see if you could stick to it and find it. And the plan was, if you lost it and you decided to go in a random direction around that, I, on the GM layer of Roll20, which you can't see, I put down some monsters. So if you went near them, there would be a fight. So, and you did decide, you went away and you found some wolves. We ended last week, you just had a nice little easy fight with some wolves. And from there, you've then decided to actually stop following the path. You can see Wyvern Tor in the distance. You know where it is, and you know that's where the orcs are, because Harbin Wester, the town master fantasy, he's already asked you to go and sort these guys out. So you decide, rather than go the main way through the hills, you're going to go to the Sword Mountains, hike up the mountains a little bit, and try and get round it. So it's going to take you a little bit longer. It takes you the rest of the day, and you're moving slowly. Evening is now drawing in as you approach. And from where you stand now, you catch sight of a tall, steep hill that rises to a prominent bare knob of rock. A thin spire of smoke rises from some unseen point high on the hill slopes, and you can make out a steep, narrow road, or a track, really, that runs back and forth across the face of the mountainside. What do you do? Evening is setting in.
Well, that's one hell of a walk up there.
Yeah, we're going to rest before we go up there.
I think that we should be the top of our game before heading in.
I think here. We should keep an eye on the road and all, because if a cart comes along delivering supplies, maybe we can hijack the cart and pretend that we've got supplies.
Surprise? Yes.
Surprise,
Hosted by Scylla Dark Elf.
Yeah, I mean, we can scout it out and see what happens. We're gonna, like, if we go up that road, they're gonna see us, aren't they? There's no chance of them not seeing us. So
yeah, if we take a full rest, I can pass without a trace times. It is night time.
It's all gone black.
Yeah.
Silla black.
So it's all gone silla.
Supplies.
It's all gone silla.
I don't.
Oh, here we go.
That is different.
Where's our counters? Where are we?
You don't quite really need them. You're at the very south, at the foot,
near that watering hole.
What here?
Oh, south. Oh,
yeah.
South.
You're like the very south of this map. The very south.
The very south. So
you're like here. Yeah, down here somewhere because you were skirting the mountains, so you can see. It gives you the rings around this hill. So it's 200 feet, 400 feet, 600 feet, 800 feet going up.
Hmm. Oh, and there's the path. Okay. Okay, I see it. Can we see from where we are any... We can't really see anything but the smoke, can we? There's no actual... Can't see like a settlement or anything like that properly from here?
No, you can see this column of smoke billowing out the top.
Oh, the column of smoke is here, though.
Ah, okay.
We could try going round... And like working our way.
So this is the peak of Wyvern Tor. It's not a mountain, it's a massive fucking hill. It's the peak.
This is where the Orcs is.
Okay. Do we just go how's everyone's
health? Are we fully rested now?
Yes.
So basically it depends. I mean, whether you want to have a long rest here. You've only had one encounter this day. You haven't used much. You could just short rest. I don't think you've used any spells or anything, really.
No.
I've used one, but it
depends if you want the cover of night to attack at night or whether you want to wait till the morning for daylight. It's up
to you. I think attack at night, like those flags did.
Yeah.
Because that's how they attacked us.
How are we going to get to them, though? Do you want straight up the main road?
You can go up the road. You can hike up the hill. You can... have a look around the forest area. You can, you know, it's really, really up to you. You can follow the path. You can.
The path is a no-no to me.
Yeah, we should come maybe around here.
Through the forest.
There's going to be some way up around here.
Yeah, let's stealth our way through the forest.
What do you think, Millicent?
Yeah, so I'm nodding in agreement, but yeah.
Cool.
It's not very good for a podcast, is it?
Millicent nods in agreement.
Will be a description available.
So you're going to scout around the base through the forest. So the going is really quite hard. You can see the slopes on there. Random, like sometimes it's really steep and then it will level out a bit. It's heavy undergrowth. There's trees, there's rocks and boulders. You do move very slowly. Even, you know, you're trying to move quickly. You're not trying to like deliberately go slow, but you're only going to be traveling around 100 feet per minute.
What's that in yards?
It's about 10 feet per round. So in a round of combat, you can move normally roughly 30 feet every six seconds, but you're only going to be moving like 10 feet every 6 seconds. So that's to kind of show how slow you are. Now, from down there, heavy woods are blocking the view upslope, making it quite difficult. Now you're down in the thick of it to ascertain the origin of the smoke. If you want to make... So you've gone round sort of the east side. If you want whoever is leading the kind of search, probably Millicent, and she's the only one proficient in survival, if you want to make a survival check to see if you... kind of vaguely know which direction you're supposed to be going in.
With guidance?
I mean, it's a natural one, so...
Never mind.
I'm not sure the guidance will do much.
You got...
And I rolled a one on the guidance anyway, so...
five or something, yeah. So basically, now you're in the thick of it. You kind of started off on the hillside of the mountains right down to the south, and you can see where it was, and you start heading that way, but like I said, the steep slopes, and there's bits where you just can't climb over the rocks, so you move round a bit. Doesn't take long, an hour or so, before you suddenly realise that you're kind of lost and you're not quite sure which way it is you need to go. So you carry on kind of moving a bit.
Yeah, I've got, apart from us rolling checks, I've got no options to think of apart from just try and move upwards, uphill.
Yeah.
And this is it, yeah. So you know that you want to go kind of uphill, not downhill.
That's the only clue that we have.
end up at the top of the mountain.
I presume that, like, once it clears, if we head uphill, we will get to the point where it either thins out or we can see something.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you keep looking around, eventually you'll find some clearings and stuff like that. If you want to kind of keep on going until eventually you find some kind of clearing or something, perhaps climb a tree or something.
Yeah, that's not a bad shot.
Or you can just keep on climbing to the top of the hill and see how far you get.
Anyone good at athletics?
I'm good at athletics.
My athletics is a +2 and I'm proficient.
I've got +3.
Oh, go for it. Are you proficient?
Do you want to fancy pole vaulting yourself up the top of a tree and seeing what you can see?
I'll get up a tree.
That's fine. I don't.
You're taller than me, that's fine. So it's fine.
I don't really see the need to roll to climb a tree. I'm happy with that anyway. So you can climb a tree, you can see the sky.
There's some sky up here, people.
Ah, lovely. Excellent.
Is it blue?
What colour's the sky, Luke?
Well, it's getting late evening now, so it's the kind of black.
Pinky red, yeah.
The sky's the doppelganger.
It's very dark blue, you know, that kind of stuff. And you can see the stars. If the party is moving at a slow pace, the navigator gains a +5 bonus to the check. If the party has an accurate map of the region or can see the sun or stars, the navigator has advantage on the check. So, Scapes, roll me a perception. With advantage, and add +5. There's some fucking bullshit rules there.
17 +5, 22.
So yeah, you can see that you have gone a little bit too far, and you're kind of more up here. But you can see that plume of smoke again. You can see from where you are that the mountain goes up here. You're on this side, so you can't, from where you are, you can't see this side, because of course that's downhill. So you can't see the path or anything, but you can see this poking out and the smoke, and you can see this mountain obviously here. And of course, from where you are looking around completely, you can probably see that it looks like some water down there. The moon and stars is reflecting down there as it is.
Well, the Weatherstones down there.
Late evening.
Well, it looks like the camp the origin of the smoke is slightly to the southwest of here, probably about 100 yards, 150 yards. Don't know what that is in feet.
What? Scapes, in terms of stars, can you pick a star that is, or a constellation that is in the direction of where we're heading?
Why? But yeah, sure.
We can at least navigate via the stars somewhat, if anything.
The bumworm. It's in the vicinity of the bumworm.
I know
the four stars of the bumworm.
That's
it. I know the bumworm well.
Uranus is in Renegade. I remember that. Yes.
So as long as we head towards the bumworm, we should be fine.
The bumworm ho.
But it's not going to help us a lot under the forest. That's why I did
it. Under cover of forest.
I've just realised, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we know which way bumworm.
Yeah, bumworm to the south. Is.
To bumworm hill.
So, yeah, we go towards the... the bumworm constellation where the smoke's coming from.
Okay.
Everybody roll me perception then, please.
Not five.
Perception.
Natural 20.
Natural 1.
Dos. 2.
So anybody that rolled higher than a 10, as you get higher up there, it clears a bit and you can see the source of this smoke billowing out.
Okay, right.
I'm too short to see the bumworm. That's my problem. That's what I'm blaming it on.
So as you get closer and closer, you're climbing up, and you've been hiking now for a couple of hours round the base, you know, round the base, and it is now nighttime. You know, it's late evening, but it's now dark. It's 9-ish, 10-ish at night. And you come across the source of the smoke. And it's basically like a fissure in the grounds at the top of this little small part of this hill, like a natural vent basically, but it's big enough for you to for people to get down. It's and the smoke, it smells like coal, like wood burning. You look down there, you maybe see a faint glow, but it's basically just dark all the way down there. You can't really see the bottom at all. It's like a natural chimney basically. Doesn't look like it's man-made at all in the slightest.
Yeah, well, if I can smell wood smoke, though. down there's trees down there. It means there's probably people down there. When I say people, I mean lesser life forms like orcs and goblins and stuff.
I think what we've done here, guys, is we've thinking that there's some sort of settlement on top when actually it's inside the fucking hill. We're now about the Mission Impossible our way into the fucking camp.
I was going to kill some fucking oaks.
Whereas I'm sure that path would have led us to a door, maybe. I don't know if we're in a better position than we should be.
Can we take a peek?
Is there anything we can see?
Yeah, some butchers.
From where you are, it is nighttime. You've only got the glow of the moon and stars. I mean, what are you looking for? Where are you looking? Down the chimney?
Down the chimney.
Yeah. I've already told you it's dark.
I'm going to do another locate object to make sure we are in the area and where we need to be. And I'm going to do the same. If I can do it on a person, then I will locate Carp. Right. If not, I will...
He's not an object.
Well, it said describe or name... Oh, describe or name an object. Yeah, okay. Ignore that.
Yeah, but the brown cloak.
Yeah. Red brown cloak. That I gave to him and told him to put tightly in his backpack or where. I'm hoping that's still with him.
Okay.
If they haven't eaten him already.
Yeah, he kept the cloak.
Shattered the cloak out.
You get the sense of the direction to the object's location. You don't know exactly, sure, but yes. Right. Almost directly below you.
Okay, right.
Right.
Good news, guys. We're on the right fucking hill anyway.
There's a good chance there's some fucking orcs to kill. Let's go and
get
some orc meat.
How do we get in?
Well, couldn't we block this chimney up and then just suffocate them all?
Damn straight.
Carp's in there.
Yeah, but I mean,
the chimney is big enough for all of you to fit down.
The thing is, without casting any light, how far up is this chimney and how big is the drop? I don't want to just jump into a hole and then there's 100 fucking feet beneath me.
Got rope, right?
We got rope.
Let's lower Gavin, lower Barry.
Yeah, Barry, I'm going in. I'm still fair as fuck, so I don't mind. I'm small.
Tie a rope around Barry.
Yeah. Okay.
Everyone else hold on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tug of war starting. I'm kicking him off the edge.
Yep. I'm in.
He's well up for it.
I'm in the hole. I'm already gone.
Yeah, so you're tight.
Past tracing us, or do we need it?
No.
Not yet. We all good.
Don't ask permission. Just do it.
I don't want to waste
stuff. Don't overthink
stuff.
It. Just chuck me down the hole.
Okay. So you're climbing down the chimney, and they've tied some rope around you. So,
yep.
Your standard adventurer's kit of hempen rope is 50, I believe.
Yep, 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Each?
Nope.
Yep.
So.
We've got one each, though, haven't we?
Potentially. Look at your character sheet. Depends what pack you've got. I don't know.
Who else has got one?
I think I've got one.
I've got one. Right, let's tie all of our ropes together.
Yep. Send me down.
You do that. You lower Burr down. He starts climbing down. The walls are irregular and rough, which you'd think would make good footholds as you go down, but they are also slippery with grease and things like that that's lifted up in the smoke. They've perhaps maybe been roasting things cooking. On a fire or cooking. Exactly.
Fats.
Can you please make me an athletics check, please? Strength
of course.
Athletics check.
Athletics. I've got a +2 and I'm proficient. 12 plus 2 is 14.
You successfully move 15 feet down. Still looks like there's some ways to go. Do you want to continue?
Yeah.
Can you roll me another athletics check, please?
Yeah, 19 plus...
That's
fine. 21.
You've now gone down 30 feet and there's still no sign of the bottom. Do you keep going?
Yeah, of course I do.
Can you make me another check, please?
400 fucking 12. Feet of rope.
That's another plus 15 two. Feet.
Yes.
You can now see a glow of a fire, but it still looks like it's some ways away. It's 45, yeah? So another 15 feet, another check.
That's a 10 plus 2.
Oh, you do. Slowly but surely. Your foot steps a little bit but you're fine, and you move down another 15 feet. That is 60 foot in total, guys. You now realise that he is onto the second piece of rope that you tied to it.
Yeah, so I'm keeping
going.
Do
you wish to continue? You're getting close now. You can see the glow. You can almost see the fire below you.
Yeah, it's rolled a natural one.
It's
going to come, wasn't it?
Can I just clarify, before anything happens, I've imagined this as the rope is tied to Burr and the three of us are lowering him down.
Yeah.
Not we've dropped the rope the entire length and you're climbing.
No, is that right?
You're
lowering
him. Lowering him. Yeah, just want to be clear on that.
Right, okay. That's fine. All right. That's not how I envisioned it. I thought you were kind of like anchoring it at the top and slowly letting it, but he's kind of like...
I said that I tied it to him.
I figured that was for safety, so that if he slips, you could catch him, was what I thought.
No.
I was just lowering him down like...
Lowering him down. Like abseiling.
I rolled him up in the rope and then I dropped him and raffled him.
Sure. So, the chimney is not a man-built chimney, so it's not perfectly straight the whole way. So you can't just fall down low. You do kind of, as you go down, have to slowly kind of move yourself around and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which is going to release the slack a little bit of the rope as you go down. So you're kind of like half climbing down, half being lowered. You do slip a bit. The rope goes, but you guys are all holding onto it and you manage to catch it. And it's like the scene in the first Mission Impossible, as you drop down, but you don't touch the floor and you're left swinging there about 10 feet above a fire, burning around. Luckily,
there's no other fucker
in this room.
Whoa.
A large smoky fire crackles in the center of this room and you can feel that heat slowly cooking you. It smells good.
It reminds me of Legend, Tom Cruise, great film.
I know the film. It's also got Tim Curry in it.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Watch it again.
I've never seen it.
This whole bit is reminding me of it. Oh, it's great.
I mean, it's a classic, isn't it? It's one of those films that when it came out, I was too young to watch it. So, and then as an adult...
It's a PG.
Yeah, but it also came out in late 80s?
It was late 80s.
You know, when I was
was different then, wasn't it?
Well, it's not only that. I was born in 86. So when it came out, I was just too little. Yeah, so I probably wasn't even born. Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah,
so it's just I never watched it. That's all.
It's really good. Watch it. It's really good.
Cool. I will do it at some point, maybe. I probably won't.
The water hags in The Witcher, basically based on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I finish describing the room to you now?
Do it. Cool.
So a large smoky fire crackles in the centre of this room and battered pots and kettles were stacked all over. Clearly, this space serves as a crude kitchen. You feel a distinct draft drawing the smoke up through a rough hole in the ceiling. Okay, so there you are. You're in the room.
It's suitably smelly.
Suitable for what?
The fire is crackling away, but there's no one in here. It's just you hanging there at the moment. And nothing is cooking either. It's just like they probably just keep this fire burning because it's easier than putting it out.
Can we see him?
No. He disappeared into blackness.
So you guys got to... I can shout up. Go, fellas. coast clear.
If only before you went down, you developed some kind of signal, tough. Tug on the rope or something.
I'll give you a yank on the rope.
Yeah, I think... Just a bit of two.
I think they know a yank on the rope means we're good to go.
Yeah, it does.
We've already established that. We've already established that. Of course you would.
All right.
Can I try and secure the other end of the rope somewhere up top?
Yes, you can. There are plenty of big, heavy stone boulder trees. Rocks and stuff like that around, yes.
So at least we can all then eventually go down, so.
Absolutely.
That was my zip wire noise.
Who's going down next?
I'm big and fat, so shall I go last?
Yeah, I'll
jump. We can catch you.
Maybe you should go first in case you snap the rope.
Well, if I snap the rope,
we're all fucked.
We can check another rope there.
All right, I'll go. Yay!
Okay, so it probably does make sense on the grounds, of course, that you can lower scapes down like you did Burr. Whoever's got the best kind of climbing or athletics is probably the person best to go last.
See, I've got a +3 on athletics.
He's got better than me.
Oh,
I've got nothing.
Because the last person is going to have to climb down. Even with the safety of the rope, the last person is going to have to add something down.
Scrapes is last then.
Yeah, I'll go last.
Well, I'm zero athletics and
Well, we'll just throw you down.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way of getting... Well, yeah, worst case, I'll turn into something that's good at climbing.
And a spider.
Big, yeah, I wish. I really want to be a giant spider.
Okay. Spider, so who's going down next? Millicent?
Yeah. Millicent or me, either way.
Do I need to roll?
So I'd like to say, last time I didn't realise that your intention was to be lowered down. So if you're being lowered down, if you're just literally hanging and being lowered, then that's fine. You can get lowered down.
The last person
is going to have to climb down.
I'll figure that out.
Unless we loop the rope around a tree at the top. And then
he's still going to
escape down.
Yeah, but he's still good. Like, there's no one to lower it gently at the top. So it can
no,
be tied.
But we lower it from the bottom.
Yeah.
I'll be all right. I've got a few safety ripcords spell wise if I fuck it up. Yeah.
So Scapes is going to have to abseil down. It's tied off the top. He's going to have to abseil down.
Oh, so, I thought Scapes had gone. Sorry.
No.
You decided that he was the best at climbing, so he was
in
climbing. So we're going to do very tedious dice rolls again. Basically, you need to roll a dice for every 15 foot, and it is an 80 foot drop. So,
who's that? Me?
Yes, you. So just call it 5 die rolls.
Okay, first one, 9.
Pass. Next one,
19.
Pass.
11, and then a 12.
Pass.
Then an 8.
You pass. Yeah. So with the rope lowering yourself down, it's easy. DC 5 to climb down with that.
Shall we? We're all here.
You're
all there.
Oh, I can't see anything. I don't know.
Bottom right corner.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
thank
I moved you. Yeah, I moved you. Are we good to move on? There's a tunnel. So there's a tunnel. For you've lowered down this odd kind of shape. It's a natural kind of cave, like it's been carved out or something. I don't know. In the northwest, there is a tunnel leading into another room. You go and peek up there. Now, the walls and floor of this natural cave have been carefully smoothed. And you can discern at least 4 routes as you approach this room, leading off into the darkness. Red coals are kind of from the room that you've just been in, where you came down from the chimney, are just gently lighting up this room. The floor is covered with sleeping furs, crates, sacks, and just general detritus and rubbish. From where you are, there's stacks of it, so you need to kind of really move into the room to be able to...
Anyone want to go first?
Yeah, go on, I'll head up. Just want to see if I can hear people walking around, like any activity, really. Mm-hmm. Talking, active areas.
Roll me perception.
15.
Lovely. Just around that corner where you're stood to your west, your left, you can hear some whimpering, sobbing.
Just to clarify, from this direction?
Yep, from the west. Yeah. Never eat shredded wheat.
Never eat shredded wheat.
Southwest. Do eat shredded wheat. It's good for you. Lots of fibre. Helps your poo.
Are we sponsored by shredded wheat?
Shredded wheat.
Dice and Dice Show is sponsored by Nestle shredded wheat.
Not Nestle. Fuck those.
A crude wooden cage door closes off the southern exit. As you move into there, you've got from the middle of the room, there are 5 passageways leading out of this room. So there's the one that you came from in the southeast, one on the northeast, one on the north, one on the west, one on the south. And to the south, there's a crude wooden cage and a door closing that off.
I'm peeking around, ducking behind. You're what, sorry?
You're being sneaky. Sneaky. Do you want to roll me a
sneaky,
stealth
thing? 15.
Lovely. You see?
Am I following these guys, by the way?
Yeah, head up, yeah. If you want to.
A small boy and a goblin asleep on the floor. And the boy is just like, I should have listened to Millicent. I should have stayed behind. I shouldn't have run.
Carp. Carp.
Find out what happens next week.
I mean, let's go.
This is it.
Jump on.
Just climbing down a hole. That was like Lord of the Rings shit.
You know what? I thought you guys were going to be stupid enough to go out the front door.
Out the bath.
Well, actually, Luke, what happened is we were stupid enough to not find the front door.
There was the pathway that you saw, and I thought, okay, we'll go up the pathway. I thought maybe like you'll scout around the pathway to try and be stealthy, but not like on the path.
Have you met us?
But like instead, yeah, you went.
Stealthy down the chimney.
You went stealthy down the chimney.
It's the one time our stupidity has actually turned in our favour.
Well, you thought you were looking for the actual camp itself instead of, chimney, of course.
But Luke, please do watch Legend.
Is it on Netflix?
Probably not.
Is it on Prime?
Probably not. You might find it.
Is it on Disney
like,
Plus?
Have you got a Moody site anywhere?
With old films like that, that you can't really find links or anything.
No, but 1985 it came out.
Yeah, so it's a year before I was born. Year before it.
Yeah.
Yeah, over half of his podcasts weren't even born in
1985.
The definition of too young. So, it's been on the telly, like growing up, like my family, you know, Gav, you know my family, like, you know, they're all into their fantasy, you know, they got me into role-playing as a kid and, you know, and stuff like that. But they love it. I remember it being on the telly. I was just never really interested. I think Tim Curry scared me as a kid, to be honest,
honestly, Tim Curry is, like, other than Pennywise, it's probably... But Tim Curry just plays... evil so well.
He should have been such a huge actor instead of he's iconic, he's legendary, but he should have been A-list. Yeah. He should have been Hollywood A-list. You know, look at
Emily is obsessed.
Oh, brilliant. Like, funny enough, I think was it last episode we talked about Clancy Brown and cancelled TV shows?
We mentioned
the TV show Earth 2 with Clancy Brown that was cancelled in the 90s after one season. Tim Curry was actually in that as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was, yeah. No surprise that he played the bad guy. But he's brilliant. Such a good actor.
He's great.
You know, I've heard Legend is brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
Legend is.
Again, It's, you know, is brilliant. We watched recently, actually, past month or so, we actually finally got around to watching the remake of It 1 and 2. It was all right. I'd put it off
I thought the first part was brilliant. Was great.
Yeah, the second was a bit meh.
Second part was...
do you know what ruins it, Phil?
It didn't quite hit.
James McAvoy. Why the fuck are people still giving that man jobs? He is a terrible actor.
No, he's not. Because, Split was great. As much as Split wasn't a great film, he done a good job. And
I just kept on thinking it was... Honestly, when I saw the trailers for Split when it was coming out, I thought it was Justin Timberlake. I didn't even realise it was him. and I thought it was really...
he's obviously doing a good job because you didn't realize he's
doing record. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
We're forgetting Tim Curry's best role, Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Love you. Best fucking thing he's ever done. Oh, and Clue
is one of the greatest films ever made. And I really, really want to be clever enough. There's probably one already out there online somewhere that I could steal. I think that like using some kind of Call of Cthulhu rule set or mechanics and then Clue, I reckon the two would mess
you
really well.
Absolutely.
Real good.
You know the game Clue though?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done it in two goes.
I can beat that. Absolutely.
Just guess.
A couple of Christmases ago, and my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
My wife's brother. Yeah, we had a Christmas. We had a Christmas together about 5 years back, and was playing games. We're playing Cluedo. We played quite a lot. I think it was actually technically playing the Firefly edition, but it's just playing like standard rules.
No, I played the Vimto edition when I've done it.
The Vimto.
Vimto, the drink.
Okay. Yeah, on his very, very... This was like our second or third go of the game in the couple of days. And literally on his first go, he was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go for it. Boom, boom, boom. And he got it. And it, wow. Like, it was amazing. The sheer luck, I was like, you wasted that. You should have bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah, and like, exactly.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to visit my mum and everyone back in the summer when lockdown sort of eased up, and we were playing.
So me, that pops around?
Yeah, that week. Yeah, so it was me and Lewis were playing with Lewis's eldest daughter and my eldest son Archie, and we're playing for a little while, and eventually, like, I made a guess in a room, and it went to Lewis's daughter, nothing. Went to Lewis, nothing, and it went to Archie, nothing. And I was like, have I just got it? It's just sheer luck. Shit. Have I just got it? I was like, all right. And we had been playing for a little while. So I was like, are you sure? I was like, is everyone sure that you definitely do not have one of the cards that I've just asked for? No, 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 no. I was like, okay, brilliant. I'm going for it. So, and I fucking got it wrong, didn't I? So I'm out of the game. And you know what? Shit. My son Archie, little fucking... he had two of the cards that I'd called out, and I was like, I made it pretty clear to you the rules of the game is you have to show me, like, that's, I was like, oh, I didn't realise. It's like, hey, you tosser. Anyway, don't have kids. No, do, he's lovely, he's great. He's
ruined Cluedo.
Yeah, he started high school last week. He had his first piece of homework today, and Archie is really smart, really intelligent, and really fucking funny. He's absolutely hilarious. But he's got learning difficulties. He's autistic, and he's struggling a little bit with the transition. So he's had his first piece of homework today. Now, it's English homework, and he had to write a small speech, like 100 words or something, to describe open evening. And so really quite simple, but for him quite difficult. But he struggles writing. His handwriting is barely legible. He can't do it. It hurts his hand. He's got hypermobility as well. He just struggles writing. So I was like, look, use the laptop. Type it up on the laptop. And I was amazed. Like, he's written this, you know, he's done it, bang on 100 words. Like, he didn't want to go over. Like, the brief right. was 100 to 250 words. And he's like, bang on 100, really proud of himself because he didn't do too much. Like, and it took a little bit of encouraging, but I'm really proud of him. He's done absolutely amazing.
Cool.
Bless his little consorts. He's
got to find what works for you, isn't you?
Absolutely. So I need to talk to his school about whether or not he can use a computer in school or something, because he really struggles writing. But
you know what?
Like, his grammar was perfect. His spelling was perfect. Like, and he's used some really good kind of like descriptive words, you know, nothing like that's going to...
That's the thing. Like, now in schools, I think they're a lot more open to things like that. Like, when I was at school, I basically got told it when I went to secondary school, I had an English teacher, Mrs. Fennelly, who was a witch.
Dogs her.
actual prick. And she basically said to me, don't write joined up because you can't do it. And she made me write block capitals. And I still write block capitals today because...
Wow. I don't join my letters.
You say that she was a witch, but that seems good for you.
But she said, you know, you can't write joined ups or write block capitals. Yeah, okay, it hasn't affected me. It's not a big deal.
It slows you down.
Most forms you have to fill out, you've got to write fucking block capitals.
Exactly.
This is it these days. The only time you ever write is thin apple. But I mean, I've said this to him before. It's like, because they just force it on you in primary school. You must write joined up. You have to do it. And I was
Why? Because no one can fucking read it anyway.
This is it.
It's the same as the exams, isn't it? Like, we're adapting to examinations as well, to an extent, not massively, but an exam is like saying to a monkey and an elephant, your exam is climb that tree. Not everyone's going to be able to do that exam.
You stole I've seen that post on Facebook.
But no, anything that comes out my right is mouth is piracy. Like, take that as an
example. But it's 100% right. We're all different.
That's it, isn't it? It's finding...
Why make everyone the same?
And I don't think I've really...
Boring if it were.
The only handwriting I've done this year is fucking D&D notes. So
I don't write by hand at all anymore. So yeah, cool. Hello. Anyway. Someone's in the chat. Hello. You've joined just as we're finishing the game, mate. I'm really sorry.
No.
I'm sure that probably spells something really clever.
It's not your teacher, is it, Gav?
Dr. 4YL1N.
It's not Mrs. Fennelly, the old witch.
Mrs. Fennelly has joined.
Apparently it says Draylen. Hello, Draylen.
Australian old cunt.
Draylen says, new to D&D, never played, just bought essential kit and three characters for my wife and friends. Give me one tip. There can be maybe a lot and don't want to take up your time because I'm quite nervous. Bless you, mate. You've just joined at the very end. We're just closing up and talking shit, mate. But if you're new to us, check out all of our videos are on YouTube, or you can download a podcast, which is fully edited. This is the starter set. So the essential kit you mentioned there, mate, is was released like last year, and that was kind of like a follow-on to this one. So if you've got another £20 or whatever that is in dollars to spend, look at the starters kit. It's a really good place to start. Really, I would say if you're going to do, if you're just starting off.
Join us and play Droop.
I would say just relax, have fun. There's no right or wrong. You know, if it doesn't work for you, change it, do something else. Read the adventure. If you're going to play with your wife and friends, read the adventure. That's all I'd say. Read it from start to finish so you know where you're going, and then when you go through it, you kind of improv it and you make it up and you change it. But it's too late. I need to go to bed. So I can't give you too much advice. But you tell you what, mate, follow us on Twitter, at ShowD&D. Send us a message or a tweet or something. Listen to the podcast, and I will try and give you some advice on there. I'm going to bed, guys. All right. So find out what happens on the D&D show next week. And remember, folks, the dice never die.
Fight your stories.
The dice never die.
Says Shirley Bassey.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at Lewis SW Gell. And thank you to our very own James Blyer for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before. But it's basically a favour, a podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop. Great bunch of guys, and I think I'm quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together, and I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more zing. Yeah. Ready? Hello.
With a hello.
No. Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Wait till. Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh dear.
Waiting to get through the whole thing.
No. I mean,
I thought that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
.com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And
we will be delighted if you were to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
We play Dungeons and Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn, and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.
danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that Actual Play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.